Welcome to the Friedharman Leadership Podcast from the Center for Excellence in Spiritual Leadership, the podcast dedicated to developing and encouraging spiritual leaders for the kingdom. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 11 of the FHU Leadership Podcast. And so we are here today with a very special guest, Dr. David Powell. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Josh. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we have to confess something, first of all, that this is actually take two. I apologize to David that for some reason, technical difficulties, the first time we recorded this a couple weeks ago did not get recorded, and so he is gracious enough to do it again, and I appreciate that, and we're looking forward to this discussion. The answers were so good, and his discussion was so good, I really wanted to get this content recorded, so I appreciate him coming back. David, it's good to have you on the show, this time hopefully as a real guest. I'm actually double recording this with two different setups, so that way we will get it recorded. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
And David has been teaching at Friedharman. I'll let you tell that all the details in a moment, but this is a special year because this is his last year. We're sad, but we're also happy for him as he is retiring at the end of this year. And so, David, congratulations, and tell us a little bit about your history here and what are some of your fondest and best memories of teaching at Friedharman?
I guess my best memories of teaching here at Friedharman would have to be the students that I've had the privilege of teaching for these last 30 years. And I've been around some of the greatest kids in the world, and they've gone on to do wonderful things, great things, like yourself, teaching here now, and others who are teaching here now in the Bible department. I was privileged to have in class. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity God gave me to be in the classroom and to get to know these kids and to be inspired by them and to grow spiritually as a result of being with them. And I think that's what I'm going to miss the most about teaching here is the classroom and the students that I have.
The students keep you young, don't they?
They do that.
They keep you. So how many years have you been teaching?
This is my 30th year.
30th year. And of course, preaching the whole time, working two jobs simultaneously, and doing many gospel meetings. And so, David, one of the things that I wanted to mention is you prepared notebooks for your classes, and those have stood the test of time, if you will, and been some of the most useful things. I know I've used them, and other preacher friends of mine used them when we were in local work. So how did that come about, and kind of what was the impetus behind designing those?
In the beginning, it was simply to help me get through the material, to organize myself, and hopefully not to get sidetracked too often, and hopefully not to preach too much, and stay on task, and get through the material. Another reason I wanted to develop the notebooks was simply because when students left here, they had something they could take with them. They had their notes, and hopefully, as I've told them many, many times, you'll use these to teach a class or maybe to preach a series of sermons or, to work on papers or presentations of other kinds, that they'll be useful to them. In my years as a student here, I loved my classes, and I learned so very much. But I don't think I have any of my notes left. And what notes I do have, it's hard to make heads and tails of them. So I wanted them to have something in hand when they left here. And it was something also that helped me to keep moving forward and not get bogged down and to make sure I got through all the material assigned to me in a semester's time.
Yes. Well, they've been very valuable. And I've done something similar with the journals. I use the ESV Scripture journals where they can write in that, and you hope that students will take them. What percentage? We probably don't want to know the percentage that actually do, but we're still hopeful. Number two, I want to go to. So you talked about the students. What has impressed you with students through the years?
I think their character. They're just, they come from great homes, great home congregations, and they come here and they understand the standards, and they're willing to abide by those. And it's just their integrity, their honesty. I really don't worry about them. And obviously, there are some that are the exception to that, but for the most part, the great majority of them are just wonderful students. And plus, they come here with really good GPAs. They've worked hard, they've studied hard leading up to college. They know how to prepare. And I've been also impressed with their discipline, the ability to come to a school like Freed Hardeman, to be on their own, to not have anyone looking over their shoulders and telling them what to do and when to do it and when to get up and when to go to bed and those kinds of things, to get their work done and get it turned in on time. They figured that out pretty quickly. And for the most part, they're pretty amazing. And So they're so technology savvy, and it's ever changing. Education's ever changing, and they stay ahead of the curve. They're adaptable, and they just kind of seem to roll with the punches, and they're good Christian kids. They're understanding. And they really want to learn. They really want to know the Bible. And they want to know the whys to what we believe and practice. And they, I think they genuinely want to share the gospel with the world, especially with their friends. So I've always been impressed by their evangelistic zeal and their mission-mindedness.
Amen to that. Great, great testimony, and I know you've been a great encouragement through the years to so many students, myself included, and your zeal, your enthusiasm that you bring to the classroom and the way you're able to teach the Word of God and bring a fire to it. So this is kind of a hypothetical question, and if we were to get all your students, which would be a lot of students through the last 30 years, thousands, if we were to get them all together in Lord and you were able to speak to them, what message would you want to communicate to those students and to this generation?
Make the world a better place. Make the world a better place to live in. Make the world a better place for my grandchildren and for their children and their children's children. And make the church stronger. And I really believe in these young people. And I think the church is doing well. I'm not one of these people who believes the church is, going down, the wrong path, so to speak, that the church is dying. I don't believe that. And I would hope that these young people, along with trying to make the world a better place in which to live, would make the church stronger. And I would hope that they would make going to heaven a priority, that they would focus more on things that are eternal instead of the things which are on this earth. And life goes by so fast, and their time here is really so short. And I try to tell them that this is, Freed Hardeman is the exception to the rule, to the world. And that these are some of the best times of their lives. And so prepare themselves to go out into the world and just make the world a better place. Wherever the Lord plants them, in whatever role they fill in the Lord's church, to do their best, to be Christ-like, to love others, to love themselves, to be good to themselves, allow themselves grace, and just try to be joyful about being a Christian. And in many, many ways, hopefully turn the world right side up. There's hope, and they are our hope. And they're not just the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. And just given a chance, I think they'll make a big difference. I'm really high on them. I really believe in them. They just need encouragement, and they just need some direction and an opportunity.
Amen to that. What a optimistic and what a wonderful exhortation. So David, you're blessed to do a lot of gospel meetings. And, of course, one of the best presenters of God's Word and taking God's Word and expositorily preaching it and motivating us. And as you go around to a lot of different churches, from smaller to larger churches, different places, north and south, what have been some of your observations in the church today? And especially as we think about leaders listening to this who don't get to travel around as much, what have you seen in the church and what your experience is like?
First of all, I think the church is only as strong as its leadership. And I'm thinking of elders and their wives, deacons and their wives, not just ministers and their wives. I think that the elders play a really significant, important role in the growth of the church and the well-being of the church. And in congregations where I've been privileged to speak, those congregations that are doing really well, that are growing, that are strong, that are happy, joyful, have strong leadership, and leadership that's out front, that's for all to see and are accessible and are truly leading among the flock, in the midst of the flock. They're well known, they're well appreciated, they're in the community, they're making a difference in their communities. People know them in and out of the church. That's the first thing that just really leaps off the page at me. And I think secondly, sound congregations that I've attended have a really strong pulpit. A really sound pulpit, a biblical pulpit, and they know what they believe, they know where they stand, and they're not going to budge from that, and they're going to hold true to the sacredness of Scripture, and I've been impressed by that, and I think I'm asked to preach in certain congregations or speak in certain congregations because they know what they're going to get. And I think they realize, what they will get from Fried Hardeman. They expect a book, chapter, and verse, a type of, exposition of Scripture. And I think that's what they're hungry for. And I've seen this in young people too. I think they do want to know the truth, and I don't think they just want pad answers and or padded answers or whatever, what we've always done or what we've always believed. But I think they're really searching for why, and they can handle it. They can learn, and I also believe in congregations where I've been, and I've noticed that they have a really wonderful spirit about them, is that they have a lot of young families involved, engaged, and they're bringing their children to services. They're making sure that their children are in services and their children are growing up in the services of the Lord's Church, and they're involved. They're active. They're not just looking to the older members of the congregation to just keep doing what they've always been doing. I think they understand that the baton's being passed to them. And congregations where older members have passed that baton on and have trusted the generation coming in behind them are blessed. Mm-hmm. They're Amen. Growing. And they're I tell you another thing that I think is so important that I'm seeing, and maybe it's this generation or maybe the generation before, but they're incredibly community-oriented, trying to outreach into the community more so than perhaps in my generation. And I like that. I think that's so important. They're trying to really make themselves known in the community. They're opening up their buildings. They're, opening up their homes. And they're trying to really encourage people in the community to know who they are, not just doctrinally, but in the way they live their lives, how family-oriented they are, and how important the church is. And in these congregations that are growing, they love the church. They're not speaking negatively about the church. They love the church. They want to be there. They want to be involved. And again, I really believe that starts at the top and works its way down. And so leadership, whether it's in the eldership or with deacons in their homes, the ministers in their homes, are just simply members. And we're all ministers. We're all supposed to be ministers. Where you have these people who take that seriously, Christians who take that seriously and are involved and committed, those are the congregations that are growing. And when those things are missing, and when they're not engaged, so to speak, they're not growing.
Yeah, yeah, it's great thoughts there. So when you think about church leaders, and I appreciate you emphasizing the importance they have in the church, and also recognizing the role that younger families have in bringing much energy and to the church. What counsel or what advice would you give church leaders today serving in this culture and in this context?
Trust them. Trust their younger families. Trust these younger members who want to be involved. They want to lead. They long to make a difference. It's just that sometimes it's hard for us to let go of what we've always done, and to trust them that they're going to get the job done. And they may stumble a little bit, and they may seek advice or guidance in a particular area, but trust them. And I think it's elders who are trusting deacons to do their jobs, to fulfill their roles. And then it's deacons within their groups trusting their younger families. And then it's in those younger families to trust their kids, to engage their children, to let their children be involved and let their children grow up being active in the Lord's church. And it's intergenerational. And I'm afraid where we have held on to our roles as older members in the Lord's church and not allowed younger members to have a chance, to have an opportunity, and to feel like they're trusted and they're needed and they're plugged in, we're stumbling a little bit. And it's hard. I understand. I've been here 30 years. And but there comes a time when you have to trust the ones coming along behind you. And I've been blessed to preach in several congregations with one on two different occasions, a total of 27 years. And there came a time when I just I realized that there needed to be a younger man in that role, and it was important to get the right one, and they did in this particular situation. They got a great young family, but there comes a time when we just have to let go. We have to relinquish control and trust those who are coming along behind us to get the job done, and encourage them. And try to be there for them if they need us, but we've trained them well.
So, and that's tough. You've experienced that from leaving church work, from leaving now here this semester of because you've invested your life in it, isn't it? And mm-hmm. and church leaders that have invested their life in the church.
That's
and
right.
there's also so much fear that they're going to lead the church astray.
That's right.
Or that the young people have different views or are concerned about doctrine. We understand the priority on guarding the church and keeping the church pure.
That's right.
But if we're at some point, you're going to be gone. So you have to begin to shift that responsibility and that purpose to that younger generation so that they can come up while you're still there to guide them, don't you?
That's right. It's just like you're having your own children. If you've trained them right, if you've taught them right, if you know them, you just have to give them an opportunity to try. And it may not work. It may be something that, you know, leadership has to step in and correct, or leadership has to step in and advise. Leadership is still responsible and accountable. But if we've done our jobs, and I believe we have, mm-hmm. then they just need a chance. They
yeah.
just need an opportunity. And we have to trust them, and that's not easy. I understand that.
And we also need to be thankful that they're wanting to step into
Amen.
Those roles. Like, we can sit back often and
Amen.
Say, well, they don't care. There's a lot
that's
of apathy.
Right.
But when we have individuals
right.
that are wanting to work, wanting to serve,
that's
then
right.
the job of leadership, Ephesians 4, is to put them in places of work and service.
That's absolutely right.
To equip them for the work of ministry. So great thoughts there. So what advice or what counsel... you've spent a lot of time teaching in your work as a Bible professor here at preachers, and you've trained a lot of preachers, taught courses on preaching and congregational ministry and preacher and his work and things like that. And so what counsel would you give young men who are starting their ministry?
Preach the Bible. Just preach the book. Preach book, chapter, and verse. Make sure that contextually, you're on target. Make sure that we're not trying to read into the scriptures or take away from them in any way, but just preach the Bible. Preach the books of the Bible. Preach the men and women of the Bible. Preach the doctrine of the Bible. Teach Jesus from the Bible. But let the Word of God lead your study. Be good students of the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Memorize Scripture. Learn Scripture. Quote Scripture. But be a man of the book, and hide behind the cross. And in every sermon that we preach, we have got to make sure people know the plan of salvation, that they know the hope and forgiveness of sins in Jesus. Every sermon needs to end with his invitation, and that's what his life was all about. But the temptation is when struggling with what to preach, and I found in teaching is that with preachers, young preachers, that's their biggest hurdle. Well, what do I preach? And we're talking every Sunday, every week, every month, every year, and trying to stay fresh and trying to stay engaged personally and sharp. You'll never run out of material if you stick with the Bible. But the temptation is to go to the internet. The temptation is to go with what other preachers have preached. The temptation is to go to, you know, to books, podcasts. And so I'm not saying it's not good to, you know, to know what others have said, how others do it, you know, but ultimately it has to be you. And you have to find yourself. And the only way to do that is to stay in the Bible. So that's what I'm trying to you know, encourage them to do. And I'm teaching expository preaching this semester, and I have 13 young men in that class who want to preach. And they're really good preachers. They really are. This has been a wonderful class. If I had to end on one, this would be the one to pick. But they're in the book. They love the Bible. They want to preach the Bible. And I'm excited about the future. And I'm, you know, you're always concerned about what influence our culture will have on our young people. But overall, I'm really encouraged. I think they realize and understand that they can preach through books of the Bible. They can preach these biographies, rich biographies that are in the Bible, and they can preach the story of Jesus, and they'll never run out of material. So that's the one piece of advice I try to give them.
That's great advice. So when you look back, as we wind things up here, David, some really good things, and I just want to emphasize once again, we appreciate, in this public forum, we appreciate your many years of service and all the influence you've had upon students and the work you've done here at Fried Hermann, and we're still excited to see the much good work you're going to do in congregations, and look forward to still hearing you preach many times in the future. So when you look back over your life, I know that it's, I caution all that to say that I know it's not over. You still have a lot of good work left. But when you look back over your life as a gospel preacher, Lord willing, right?
Lord willing.
As you look back over your life as a gospel preacher, what are some of the great blessings that you count?
Falling in love with the Bible and never really getting over it. And being able to come to Fried Hermann to study at the feet of some of the greatest teachers. To be able to preach the gospel. It's the one thing that I have always wanted to do. I've never really wanted to do anything else other than teach here. That was a dream. A dream I thought would never be realized, but by the grace of God, it has been. And some people who believed in me and gave me an opportunity, who are willing to turn over some things to me, and trust me not to mess it up. And I think I've been asked this so many times, if you had to give up one or the other, Fried Hermann or preaching, which one would you give up? And I'm blessed. I've been able to do the two things I love the most. I've been able to live in the best of two worlds. I've had people tell me that, how fortunate I am, and I realize that. But if push came to shove and I had to give up one, it would be this. I don't think I can be happy if I'm not preaching. And I don't have to preach every Sunday. I've done that. I've done that for 40-something years. And I've loved that. I don't have any regrets. And I know I'm coming to the twilight, you know, of my career. And it's been a wonderful ride. It really has been. I've been so blessed. And so I know that the opportunities will you know, fade with time. And I'm okay with that. But as long as the Lord will use me and open doors for me to preach, I'm going to keep preaching till I can't preach anymore. And I've told Kathy, my wife of 44 years, that when I'm no longer effective, when you realize I'm no longer effective, please tell me, and I'll stop. But I'm looking forward to retirement because of being able to spend time with her, to be able to spend time with my children, and most of all my grandchildren, to watch them grow up and to be a part of their lives. And I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize about preachers and about preaching is that their wives carry such a heavy load. And all the years that I've preached, when our children were young and growing up, Kathy was a single parent. She was a single parent in the pew. And she had to do a lot of things on her own. And she understood the work that we were trying to do together. And she was instrumental in that. now I have the blessing of being able to spend more time with her, to travel with her. Preachers don't get Sundays off, and so I've been richly blessed and very, very content with my decision, and leave, you know, with no regrets. Great love for Fried Hardeman. And always will be a big fan of Fried Hardeman, and pray that my grandchildren attend here someday, and will always be an ambassador of Fried Hardeman. But I love the church, and I love preaching, and I love being a part of the Lord's work in the church.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much for your time here today and for giving it again. A second time, and I tell you, it's been so rich. Is there anything else that you want to add before we close out today's program that maybe I haven't asked you?
No, you've been pretty thorough, which I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job, Josh. Very thankful for you and your family.
Well, thank you very much, David. I appreciate it. Appreciate all the encouragement. It's been great that I've been able to have a few years here with you before you retired.
It's been wonderful.
I've enjoyed that.
I have too.
Let me insert something for those out there that are listening to our podcast. If you're a current minister or elder in the church, if you're looking for ways to improve your ministry skills or better serve your congregation, then we here at Fried Hardeman would like to help you with a master's degree. Our Graduate School of Theology offers several programs. One of those is the Master's of Ministry degree. This program is tailored for aspiring or current ministers and offers a dynamic blend of academic depth and practical application. Dr. Powell and myself have both taught in that program, and it's a great program, and it involves biblical knowledge, leadership skills, and spiritual formation. If you'd be interested in learning more about that, you can visit our website at www.fhu.edu. You can also, at that website, tap in Graduate Theology, and you'll be sent to the page that will give you details on all of our graduate degrees, and look at the Master's of Arts in Ministry to see the one I was speaking of. Well, we appreciate you listening. This is episode 11 of this season. We'll have one more bonus episode before we close out this season, where I'll introduce the Church Leadership Workshop this coming September. So be looking for that podcast episode. Until next time, we want to wish you the best in your service to God.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fried Hardeman Leadership Podcast. For more great content and to see the services the Center for Excellence in Spiritual Leadership offers your local congregation, please visit www.supportingspiritualleadership.com. Until next time, remember, God uses ordinary people to lead His people into extraordinary feats.